Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review Tennant Wine's The Pundit Syrah from Columbia Valley. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
This episode is brought to you by a wine made by a maker that sounds like a great varietal that we love.
Owned by another winemaker that we're okay with.
Oh, we kind of like them a lot.
In a partnership that they no longer have. How's that sound?
Well, yeah. Some things are short-lived.
This was multi-vintage, but on tonight's show, we are back in Columbia Valley, and what we are drinking is Tennant Wines, the Pundit Syrah. Tennant Wines is owned, it's basically owned by Chateau Saint-Michel, and it's a partnership with some Rhone makers, specifically Mikel Gassier. We've had stuff from him before on the show. Don't ask me which one it was.
If you say so.
Mikel Gassier, we've dealt with wines from him. And then Philippe Cambier. So there's a French influence in Columbia Valley, and they're making this. We've seen a lot of these confabs before.
For the last 18 months, we've done quite a bit of Bordeaux or Rhone-like California blends.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just taking that to Columbia.
Yeah. Chateau Saint-Michel especially likes to do these confabs with different places. They have some Rieslings, like the Arroca.
Okay.
is a mix with Dr. Lucin.
Oh, that place. Austria.
Mm-hmm. No, Germany, actually, but okay. Close. Yeah, you know. Well, they invaded Austria, so there's that. They did have Austria for a brief period.
One of the greatest
of
killers of all time, Hitler, was from Austria.
That's true. And if you claim like you had nothing to do with the war, you say you were from Austria. So, you know, that's how that works. It's interesting.
Okay. Sure.
I was in the mountains. I had nothing to do with the war. I have no idea what you mean, Commandant.
I've lived in Argentina my whole life.
I've spent my time yodeling in the mountains. I danced in the meadows. I love sound of music. It's beautiful.
The hills are alive with the sound of genocide.
Oh, that's not funny. I thought you were going to say the music. You were going to put a Z, but no, you went to genocide.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Yes. Folks, genocide jokes. Never really one that I don't even tell those jokes, Scott. I don't kill multiple people at the same time. I kill one person. I mean, one at a time, Scott.
That makes it more better.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's different. And I don't.
It is different.
It's random. I just anybody.
Random?
Anybody. Okay. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So anybody's less than random.
It could be. That is random. It's less than random. I'm less than random, Scott. You know, if you threw the dice.
You are less than random.
My parents, it was a dice throw and they had
me. You had parents?
Yeah. Well, not for long.
Oh, Lord.
They left me in a ditch in Austria, strangely enough.
Oh, my Lord.
I don't know. I spent the whole time in the war, but it was World War I. So.
The hills are alive with the sound of Wilfred.
That's correct, folks. Yes. So, this wine should be interesting. I don't know. Who knows? It has good reviews in the past. This is the 2020 vintage, the current vintage. It has not yet been reviewed that we're aware of, that is published.
Well, I'm not aware of much.
The 19, 18, 17, all the way back, 91s, 92s, some 90 even 3s. From James, but still, you know, it's still a 93.
So what's a partnership? They're doing this in 1993?
Were they?
I thought that's what you said.
I did not.
93. Oh, 93 was the score. I understand now.
The score, yes. Got it. Keep up, Scott. It's not that difficult.
Well.
No, they actually have reviews all the way back to the 13 vintage, and the Spectator gave it 92 then.
Still, that's some time. And what you're saying is the collaboration has ended.
Well, I don't know that for certain. However, when you're on the Chateau Saint Michel website, there is a link for tenantwines.com. And if you click on it, it goes and it says, the illicit wine project has closed.
Illicit.
It says illicit. That's the name of it. Illicit wine product. So thank you for making these brands a success. For more information, contact the Intrinsic Wine Company. I don't want to.
Intrinsic. We love Intrinsic.
So I'm guessing since they closed down the website that they don't do it anymore. But folks, Chateau Saint Michel, they own a lot. I mean, they really do. They own 14 Hands, A to Z, Born of Fire, Cole Solari, which is a little more expensive. They own fucking Columbia Crest, Cosmic Egg.
All their own products.
Erath, North Star, Murph.
Just the width and depth of all their own products.
Rex Hill.
They do freaking everything you can do in the Pacific Northwest.
Spring Valley Vineyard.
If there's a varietal, they make it.
Con Creek, Patson Hall, Stag.
They do Con Creek.
Yeah, Stag's Leap Wine Cellars.
Folks, we've done Con Creek. We love Con Creek.
No, they're very good. Very good. So it just goes on and on and on and on and on. They have partnerships then with Santa Cristina, Palms d'Or, Nicholas Fuyate.
Santa.
You know.
Cristina.
Antinori. Antica Napa. Yeah. I mean, it just goes on and on. Tomaresca. Remember Tomaresca?
Antica?
No, they have a partnership.
Partnership with Antica. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they like to have these collaborations. They like to do this and that. And then when they get tired of the thing, they just drop it. The one thing about the pundit, though, that does give us pause is there's an owl on the label.
Animals.
It's a little catchy.
It goes back to the first season.
It does.
Rebecca noticed it first. If there's an animal on the label, beware.
Well, if you need to make the label overly flashy.
This is more like going for scary.
Is it scary?
I
haven't tasted it. It might be.
I think the owl looks angry. It's like his ears are peeled back, and it's like, I think it's an owl. I'm not certain, but it's like a cat with its ears pinned back.
Well, given what these wines normally taste like from Columbia Valley, maybe the owl does not like oak. Because this is going to have some.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, sir, I'll have another.
Negativity.
No.
Your negativity.
I've had Boom Boom, sir. This is better than Boom Boom, but, you know, not a lot better. So,
we've had plenty of great wines from Columbia Valley.
We have.
We love
have.
Columbia Valley.
But they just take it to the, you know, they take it to the limit. This is $18.99 of your money, too, folks. So it's not that expensive.
Take it.
But will it be as good as J-Lore? And I don't think I've ever thought I would ever say, will it be as good as J-Lore?
Take it the limit one more time.
You know, if they haven't listened to that episode yet, Chateau Saint Michel's like, fuck yeah. Then they listen to the episode, they're like, well, I don't know about that. Okay. We might have overplayed our hand.
Pretty sure they're not listening to the episode.
Well, they might be, man. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know their life. Don't judge them.
Who's they?
Maybe they don't. Well, if they don't like genocide jokes, they probably won't be listening to the episode.
Lord, that's the most thing that's offensive on this
folks,
show.
Folks, this is... Well, yes, it probably is.
Oh, Lord.
I make penis jokes and things like that, not genocide jokes. Some things aren't funny, Scott. Some things aren't funny.
It wasn't a genocide joke.
It was a punchline.
It was a comment.
It was a punchline, and that's even worse.
You're a punchline.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes, or Stitcher, or TuneIn, or Spreaker, or Podbean, or some other app I've never heard of, but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Pundit Syrah.
The Pundit.
This, typically, depending on the vintage, but normally they do 97% Syrah, 2% Mourvèdre, 1% Viognier. Viognier is very commonly blend in a 1%, just to give it a little twinkle.
Just, yeah. And just gives maybe a kiss of acidity, but at 1%, you're not going to sense that in the wine.
No.
I'm a fan of anything that they blend Mourvèdre in.
Normally. Depends on the Mourvèdre,
it's
but
fact, but I mean, it's like
the
points.
The arsonist probably uses a Mourvèdre in some fashion.
Well, it's probably made in Czechoslovakia.
Probably the same way you use Duke's mayonnaise, but still, that's okay.
That I use Duke mayonnaise?
That's what I've been told, yeah.
I spread it on a ham sandwich.
I've been spreading that rumor everywhere, Scott.
Yeah, but
you're the new spokesperson.
I'm the new spokesperson.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because I've got an injunction against me. It's a restraining order.
Well, an injunction, restraining order, semantics.
Actually, there's a hitman after me from Duke's Mayonnaise. It's bizarre. I didn't know that they were mobbed up. I don't even think that they are. This guy came to my house. It's not really a house, but this guy came to the box I live in, knocked on the side, and threatened to kill me. And he said he's from Duke's Mayonnaise. You know what he did then?
Took your Duke's mayonnaise supplies?
No, he peed on my box, and that was rude.
Damn it.
He said, well, you're in the alleyway, who gives a shit?
Well,
he's a dickhead. Very rude.
At least he didn't shit on you. He may not give a shit, but he only peed on you.
Well, no, that's Ralph's job. He lives two boxes down, and he takes a shit on my box sometimes.
Ralph?
Yes, that's not a sexual reference, folks.
A shit on your box.
Yeah, don't be a pervert. Don't be a pervert, Scott. Don't do that.
What was that sound?
I don't know. It was a guitar sound. Probably the triple B.
What? Triple B sounds like a guitar?
That's her ringtone. I don't know. It's a ringtone, Scott. You know what that is? On a cell phone? Has a ringtone?
You know about cell phones?
I have a jitterbug, yes.
No, it's a jitterbug.
It's very big buttons. I don't see too well. So, you know. But anyway, the wine. It does look like Syrah. For whatever that's worth. Dark. And Syrah should have a very deep blackberry tone. Very, very dark.
This passes the test.
Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be... I mean, it should have an ink quality to it, but it should have a sheen to it.
I was going to say it's very inky.
You don't want it to be too dense looking, though.
It doesn't...
Well, expensive ones can, though.
It doesn't look concentrated. It just looks the way it should.
It does.
Nice legs, slow to develop, but beautiful in the glass, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
New World Syrah glasses, correct?
Actually, I've switched to Old World.
These are Old World?
For one specific reason.
What's the one specific reason?
So I don't have to wash two glasses. No, No. This is a Rhone confab, right?
Okay.
Or collaboration, whatever, confab, collab, whatever.
So you went to the Old World, hence the French, hence the Rhone.
Let's see how they do in the Old World style. Yeah, we always use the New World, and I'm thinking, let's not do that. That's more what I would say more for Shiraz. That's more for Cali Bright. This should be, what should we expect? What am I expecting? Personally, I'm expecting a wine.
Well, you're expecting dog shit is what you're expecting.
Well, no,
you don't have the highest expectations.
I'm expecting to think that it's an affront to Syrah, but it probably won't be. What I would hope it would be, if it's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have some earthy tones. It's going to have some mint. It's going to have some minerality. It might even have a little eucalyptus. I don't know. Something crazy. It's not
eucalyptus. Okay.
It's not that out of the blue, right?
Okay. Well, you're out of the blue. But
you know, but I would like it to be a little bit rustic. I'm just concerned that it will be too oaky. That's all.
Fair enough. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little more lith than you expect. A little on the lighter side of Syrah.
If it's not too oaky, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
Because that will restrain that. That's the problem. You want the mouthfeel. You want the lithiness of Syrah. And if it's overtly oaked, that can intrude on that.
You know what this wine's making me think of?
What?
Somebody strumming a guitar.
Why?
Well, I was just making a reference to your ringtone, that's all.
Oh, okay. You're just trying to keep me mad, aren't you?
It's a short trip.
Well, on the nose, I smell meatballs because...
It's a deep prune? Plum thing. Very deep.
I know that it's there, but it's so faint to me.
Faint?
The nose is faint.
I think you've fainted. Really?
I mean, I can smell plum, and I can smell a little bit of a minty, well, eucalyptus, but...
Jesus Christ.
That's what I smell. You can disagree with me if you'd like, but...
I think it's aloe vera. It's eucalyptus. Okay.
I also smell on the tip end, just the tip, kind of a blend of... It's an herbaceousness, but it's a sun-dried tomato and maybe a... Basil, oregano.
Yeah, I was going to say basil.
I was like, is that the meatballs? But it's not.
No. That's. See, I don't think of this nose as subtle at all. I think it's a rather large nose.
Well, now that sun-dried tomato is coming out. I've had some allergies too, but.
That's a really nice nose. I'll be honest with you. I did not expect this.
It's just maybe taking a little bit more time for it to. Kind of get it in the glass because now I'm noticing more because I'm getting a little more aroma from it. I just don't think I had enough air in this. It's a different nose, folks. It smells like a outdoor kitchen with an herb garden next to it, and somebody's making they're canning tomatoes, you know, and you're smelling all that kind of stuff. It's interesting.
To be fair to wine guy, I just stuck my nose all the way in the glass. I often do that with these. This is a really narrow opening, and you may have been at the periphery of the glass.
Yeah.
When I stick my nose all the way in, I get a huge nose on this. A huge nose. And your first impact was subtle, and I didn't get that. But
I don't take that,
in,
yeah.
All the way in, man, it's...
I mean, if you
want to
sniff it like it's a line of cocaine, yes, you're going to get a lot more out of it. But I really do get that sun-dried tomato, herb, like the oregano, basil kind of thing right on the front.
It's secondary. That you called a plum, I called a prune. That's big in this wine. You know what's not there?
Mm.
Like mentholated alcohol. Almost nothing.
I smell, though, a little bit of mint. Just a whiff of mint.
Just a hint.
But it's not strong like we would normally say in a Cabernet or something.
But
like
my point, you don't get the... alcohol aromas. You don't get
no.
Which is promising.
Yep. All
right.
Let's go.
What do we do? Oh, we drink and review wines. Let's go. My first impression of this is a super creamy mouthfeel. Like the smoothest chocolate bar you've ever had. It's just a creamy mouthfeel. It's
got heavy oak, but...
I was going to say it's well-oaked. I don't have a problem with this oak. That's my first impression of it.
Well,
mouthfeel and the oak did not overwhelm me.
What I was going to say is, it is heavily oaked, but the way they've done it, I like. It adds grip and texture to it, and it is creamy, but it almost...
And I think that creaminess comes from the oak.
It makes the wine very hearty. With these meatballs, there's nothing that you'd ever want to drink more than this wine with these meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, that's good. This wine with beef stew.
Yes.
Oh my God, that would be good. These, I mean, a lot of different, Brajol at Scally's. This wine at Scally's. Good God. Now, you wouldn't normally say Syrah with that kind of Italian fare, but this wine would do it so well. I wouldn't necessarily pair it with steak because it doesn't necessarily have the same kind of qualities flavor profile wise, but with this kind of stuff, there's nothing I'd rather drink. Really.
There's a bit of minerality there.
Yep.
Like not quite pencil lead, but headed there.
Mm-hmm. There's a light, very light element of prune slash raisin. Just a wink. Just gives it a little bit of sweet fruit on the front with the plum and the prune. And then it almost reduces down just for a little wink of raisin, which is nice.
I wish the finish was a little longer in this.
True.
It's a unusual front palate in that
mm-hmm.
there you get the creaminess, you get texture, but there's not a lot of fruit on the front, and then that fruit that Rob was talking about comes more towards the mid palate. To be honest, it's almost like the front palate's like
as it rolls across to your tongue. Fruit.
Yes,
as you're, well, but
it's almost like a void of fruit.
But the front is like the front palate that the initial tip in,
just the tip in.
Yes. You have a little bit, and this is the thing, a little bit of...
It's a little thing.
Milk chocolate slash mocha that's kind of sitting there, that creaminess. And that's just kind of a beckoning element saying, why don't you draw this across your palate and see what else you're going to find? And you draw it across your palate, and you're like, ooh, that's very, very tasty. This wine is a very tasty wine. It all fits like a neat glove, and it's better with food. Now, is it a wine that they would say in 1855 in France, "Vif shall give this the Grand Cru." You are,
No. You know, I get that they partnered with, you know, the two makers from Rhone.
But this
I would not describe this as Rhone wine.
I would call this a Washington Syrah.
Well, but so here's the thing, you know, some of the blends that we like from there, you use that term jazzy. This is not a jazzy style.
No, but Washington Syrahs aren't jazzy. They just have a bit of oak to them.
This is a cultured... The word I would use for this glass of wine, it's very romantic. This is a romantic glass of wine. And what I mean by that.
Yes,
is,
explain what you mean by that, Scott.
You're going to have a relationship
with yourself, probably. Duke's Mayonnaise, watch out. Those are expensive glasses, Scott. You keep yourself out of those glasses. And you'll probably break them and cut yourself. I'll just point that out. It'd be hard to get glass out of your wiener. I'm just saying. Why do you need all these sutures around your wiener? Well, the wine was very romantic. Yes.
And how did you handle that discussion with the emergency room, Wolford?
No, I'm just, it's play acting, what you would say.
Play acting.
Yes.
You didn't have any experience with that?
No, I just did it with a wine bottle, yes.
Oh.
Yes. It was a Magnum, so it had a slightly wider opening, but not much.
Tops on Magnums are the same size.
I know.
It's standard corks.
I know. Give me something.
No. You're
I used
you're
a
on
lot
your
of lube.
You're on your own.
I use a lot of Duke's Mayonnaise.
Oh, you're not allowed to talk about that.
Oh, I'm not. I use a lot of Miracle Whip. It sucked. Trust
That's
me.
That's disgusting.
It is disgusting. It smells like glue.
Back to the wine.
Glue and whipped cream. That's Miracle Whip. Fuck that. If you want something that's going to stop your heart, both romantically and because it has a lot of cholesterol in it, eat Duke's Mayonnaise, folks. It's delicious. It tastes like mayonnaise should. And it kills you because it's terrible for you.
Now you're offending me.
Why are people angry?
Healthy.
It's not.
It's delicious.
It tastes too good to be healthy.
little nice little lemony acidity.
That's just lard. They put real lard in it. Made with real lard, folks. Yes, and MSG.
They don't put MSG in Duke's mayonnaise.
They do, too, and fentanyl.
Now you're really...
Lots of fentanyl in there.
Oh, Lord. Yes. Where's the fentanyl when I need to feed it to you?
Whippets are in there, folks, and Quaaludes. Yes.
Syrah.
Spanish fly is in that. I don't even know what that is.
It's plainly not.
It's selling in bathrooms. They used to, anyway. Back when I was...
Spanish fly.
Younger, yeah. You could buy you, Spanish fly.
Were you
fly.
Ever younger?
Yes, I was, Scott. I had less years in my age, yes.
You had less years?
Less years. That's what I like to say.
In your age.
I always looked like shit, but still, I said, well, I'm younger. Well, yes, vibrant. I'm still
you
vibrant.
You are not an attractive man.
That's what you say now. Get a couple glasses of the pundit in you. Oh, my gosh. And you'll change your tune. You'd be like, hey, baby, what's your name? I was like, you know my name. Yeah, and then you throw up on yourself. That's on a Tuesday night, folks.
I do have to say this one is probably not for everybody because of the lack of a fruit-forward nature.
And the oak.
I don't think the oak is that troubling.
It would be for some people.
I don't think that's what people would pick out of this one and be uncomfortable with. For example, I think Becky would not be put off by the oak in this wine. I don't think
she would hate this wine.
I'm not saying she would like
it. Smoking crow. She wouldn't like it because it's too oaky.
I don't think it's too oaky.
She would say it's too oaky. Mm. I'm not saying that it's too oaky. I'm saying that she would say it's too oaky. I mean, it's a better version, a much better version of Boom Boom Syrah. In the fact is it has body and it has some good fruit. Boom Boom didn't really have body, nor did it have good fruit. It was a little green. It was a little bit lighter. You know, this is better than that because it has
much better
fruit and body. But it still has the oak.
I don't think it's too oaky. I really don't.
I remember the analogy I gave of Boom Boom was like it was a wooden door that was creaking whenever you drank it. That was Boom Boom. And that's not a clean thing to put food on, I wouldn't think. But
I thought it was.
No, it's a coaster.
Well,
you know,
it's what I did.
It's gross.
I've been investing my toothpick on it already, so
yeah, that's fair enough. Some cat's ass was probably on that.
Well,
not George's, a dirty
probably,
one.
Probably mostly hygienic.
No, not these cats.
What are they doing?
I don't know. I don't really want to know.
No.
What do you do, kitty cat? That's just creepy.
What's new, kitty cat?
What is What is new, kitty cat? If someone ever said that to someone in a bar, you'd have to use that accent, first of all.
I think immediately the bouncers get called.
What is new, kitty cat?
Oh, Lord. You should do that again. Oh, my Lord. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Hello, kitty cat.
What's new, kitty cat?
Oh, pretty kitty.
I tell you, I know it's an owl on the label, but it's got angry kitten ears.
Meow.
And I say, this is a pretty kitty.
A pretty kitty.
Forget whether anybody else will like it. I don't care. No. I don't care if anybody else will like it or not. I do.
Yes.
What's your thought? What do you think of this wine, sir?
I think that I would drink it. I think that it's much, much better with food. It fits in the background so well. If you're just going to have people over and you're just going to have this rustic, hearty meal, and you have a bottle of this, nobody's going to mind at all. They're going to like it.
Yeah.
By itself, you know, it shows a little bit of its flaws and a little bit of its lack of imagination, but...
Well, that's the thing I would criticize this wine for.
Yeah.
Not that it has flaws. We disagree about the oaking. I think it's oaked. I'm not going to say exquisitely, but I don't think it's overoaked at all. I don't think the oak is out of place at all. And I okay. love
a better term is deficiencies as opposed to flaws. Okay. The right. wine isn't overtly flawed; it really it's just as deficient in certain areas.
I just wish it had more fruit, and I wish it was a little lengthier finish because the finish that's there, I really like. I really like the finish. It's just
it's not a very complex finish.
Short.
The wine overall isn't a wildly complex wine.
No, fact.
Which is one reason why.
It's okay, though.
It works with food. That is one reason why. I mean, sometimes complex wines, you don't want to waste your time on food. You just want to sit there and enjoy the wine. This wine is a little more straightforward. It is more of a pop and pour kind of thing. We always make fun of Probst because it's not very good. However, if you...
Who's that? this would fit on their menu well, and they would sell the shit out of it.
Well, if they had this on their menu, the restaurant, in air quotation marks, would burn down because they couldn't handle a wine that actually is good.
Well,
that's a wine bar that, A, doesn't have good food, and B...
Their food's okay.
Dumb. Their food is dumb.
No, the bruschetta's good.
No,
the bruschetta's good, dude.
Do paninis. Okay. Would you like a side of chili with your panini at the wine bar? What?
They do quite good bruschetta.
Do you want bruschetta, like pussycat?
25 different toppings you can put on the bruschetta. And it's good.
But they bruschetta also is just toppings.
I get it.
Would you like tomato on your bruschetta?
Yeah, that's it. That's what you get at most places.
Would you like...
tomato with olive oil drizzled.
Would you allow? What are they putting? What are they putting on their bruschetta? Wow me.
It's been a long time.
Would you like chicken? Because you don't like it. It's bad food.
I don't order bruschetta because
it's dumb bread. The restaurant could be really interesting and fun and good, but it isn't.
What they do is a fail. They do flank steak. Salad. Flank steak cooked
to death
some other time in the year.
And we know flank steak is the most tender. It's not, is it? No.
It must be cooked and consumed immediately.
Yes. Or not at all.
Or theirs is not.
Yes, yes. Pussycat, would you like flank steak? Or is it shoe leather? You decide, pussycat.
They have a roasted eggplant with very garlicky. I'm trying to remember what I tasted and I liked.
Is it the eggplant from the abortion can that you like to eat?
I love that eggplant from the can.
That's fucking disgusting.
You're just an eggplant hater.
I don't like eggplant, but I really don't like that eggplant.
I tell you who would like this wine quite a bit. My princess, Deb would like this because it she can deal with the oaking that you think is way out of line.
I didn't say it was way out of line in this wine.
I never said
anything of the kind. I said it is oaky. Becky would not like it.
Listen, you know, Trump's defense attorneys would tear you a new asshole. You're just going way too far.
By the end of the rough stuff? Is that what you're talking about? What is new? Is that what you're saying? Don't tease me.
I didn't tell him to do anything other than move those presidential records out of the storage closet. I don't know where those documents went from those empty folders, said Rob, the wine guy.
I'm going to tell you this. The best way to describe this wine is it's a snapshot of Syrah. It has the flavors of Syrah, but it's very, very condensed and short. But the moment that it's there on your palate, it's nice. It's better with food. It's not for everyone, but probably because Syrah isn't for everyone. It just isn't. But there, if you're having friends over and you're having a rustic, fun kind of meatballs and some stew or whatever, that kind of stuff, saucy stuff, just good food, you know. If you're watching the Wentz, like a dog show, it doesn't matter.
A dog show.
Or a football game.
A football contest.
Cricket. Or I don't know. What the fuck do people watch? I was trying to say something, then I was like, But they those kind of people don't drink Syrah. It's like, come on over, buddy. We're watching Dallas Cowboys play the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to drink some Syrah.
Yeah, most people don't drink.
Hello? Buddy, what's going on, buddy? This wine's romantic. Come on, buddy. No, it doesn't happen. So I'm thinking, where do they fucking have people over to watch something where they're drinking Syrah? It's not like they're watching The Bachelorette and drinking this.
There's no such place.
There isn't such a place. So I was trying to think of that. People that watch a dog show? But would you watch that with other people? Because it makes you a freak.
I'm pretty sure you're drinking white wine.
Look at that dog's plumage.
Plumage?
Yeah. What
the
was
dog's
it?
Plumage?
What was the guy that liked to fuck peacocks in Japan? What was his name? Yeah.
Look at that dog's plumage.
That guy's obstinate. The guy that was obstinate likes to fuck peacocks, right?
Well.
What bird do you prefer?
Well.
For what?
I'm going to be obstinate.
For fellatio?
Well, I prefer a peacock.
A pelican for a fellatio. But,
pelican.
If we're talking about straight missionary, well, then a peacock. Then.
Is that a Republican pelican?
Well, would always, yes, yes. All pelicans are Republicans.
Fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why that is.
So, I guess you could say the lack of a proper front palate with fruit involved, you could call that a flaw or say creates a disjointed wine.
It's not disjointed.
But it's not. The minute this hits your palate, before you even know what you're tasting, you go, ooh. And it's that texture, that creamy, silky. It's as I said before, it's like the best chocolate bar you ever had. You eat that chocolate, and then there's that wonderful coating, that oily, chocolatey coating on your tongue. That's where this wine starts. It doesn't have, really, the fruit comes in all the way at the back of the front palate to the mid palate. You could say it's just there at the mid palate. And that is strong in dark fruit. Rob said plum, I say prune, regardless. It's there. And then there's this nice kiss of minerality that it's headed towards pencil lead. It's not quite there. How would you describe the minerality? But then there's this finish, this oaky finish that's just so brief. I just want it to be a little longer. And for me, that's the one thing that's missing in the wine. Would I like some more different fruit on the front palate? Or like the prune / plum to be more expansive? Okay, sure. The thing I would change about this wine, if I could, was make the finish longer. That's the one thing I would add to this.
This is the one wine, though, that you'll sit there and speak in superlatives, acting like it's the greatest thing.
And it's not.
But in reality.
It's not.
It's not.
But what it does so well.
What does it do well?
That texture is freaking top shelf.
Well, folks, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we are going to provide you some astute, professional consumer advice. The holidays are amongst us. I don't know when this will be aired. Probably when you're listening to this, it's December, my guess. or maybe even late November. Sometime, it's the holiday season, you know?
It's the holiday season.
It's hard to actually think that way when we're like, because we have somebody in the can. That, yes, you're listening to us probably like a month after we actually recorded this. So we are in the Christmas season, essentially. Let's just be forward thinking.
We're just always in the Christmas season here at the Wine Vault. We're just so ho fucking ho.
Who's a ho?
Shall I? Do you want me to start the list?
Normally I've been called a skank, but, you know, that was odd. It was a pastor that called me a skank,
a pastor?
Too. At church.
At church.
Yes. I was in like the third pew. And he goes, "Get out of here, you fucking skank."
Well,
I was like, "Why?"
Well,
Jesus Christ. I didn't even have my sweatpants on.
Jesus.
No, well, you're right. You were right to think that. That's right.
Good God.
What?
Crunch. Crunch.
I didn't have a. They sent around the collection plate, so I put something in there.
I'll bet you did.
I did. It's nice. Anyway, he's a very rude man.
He's very rude. You were just rubbing the velvet in the bottom of the collection plate.
It is smooth, isn't it? And the chairs were velvet.
I don't know.
They're nice. It's nice.
I don't know.
Feels good on the skin. That's what I said.
Jesus.
It's never, you know, that's a phrase you never should use in public. It feels good on the skin. Don't ever say that.
Okay.
Or your skin feels good. Don't say that either. Especially when you don't know the person.
Do you ever know the person?
I like to think so.
What's new, pussycat?
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Anyhow.
Yes. So, Christmas time.
Christmas.
Two things.
Okay.
No, three things, actually.
Three?
That's a wine.
Three. That's Is that two times three?
That's a
six.
Wine that, a red wine.
What is two it? And three, that's five.
Red wine, strictly.
Okay.
The best red wine for Christmas dinner. The best red wine to take as a wine to a Christmas dinner, and the best red wine to give as a gift.
I don't know if it's the best, but I'm going to go with this choice. It's one of Wine Guy and I's subtle kind of backdoor favorites.
What?
Turley makes this really light version of a Cinsault that I think it's perfect for if you're going for a Christmas dinner. You bring it, it's lighter. It's a lighter oh, yeah. bodied red wine, but it's got, I think it has mass appeal. I think it's easy to drink. I think it's versatile.
It works in place for Gamay. It works in place for Pinot Noir. And those kind of things for turkey, all that kind of stuff.
Turkey, I think ham it would do well.
Yeah.
Things like sweeter sides, like
oh, yeah.
People do that. Marshmallow-ish sweet potato. If you're doing just a traditional sweet potato, I think it'd do really well. I think it'd do fantastic with a glazed ham. I think
oh,
it'd
yeah.
be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's my... I'm bringing that to Christmas dinner, red wine.
Yes. For me, assuming that the people have... they do a Christmas roast or maybe mm-hmm. a Christmas... You know, I'm going to bring Stag's Leap's Hands of Time.
Nice.
I know. It's nice. It's good wine. Or I might even bring two things. Nyer's Left Bank.
Hello. Mm-hmm. It's funny you said Stag's Leap because that was going to be my, what's just a bottle you bring for Christmas as a gift.
That's a really good one.
Stag's Leap, I was going to go. It's just a regular Stag's Leap or Artemis.
It's Stag's Leap, are, not Leaf. But
Leaf, yeah. But
you're going to bring Turning Leaf Reserve Chardonnay?
Yeah, that's
lovely.
But yeah. No, it's just, it's a nice gift. It's a little pricey, and it's mm-hmm. really good wine. You can never go wrong with it. Even if you're buying it off the shelf now and it hasn't been held back
mm-hmm.
for a couple years, it's just, it's a fantastic, cellarable wine that you can drink it now, and it's fantastic, and it's ready.
No, I would agree with that. And once again, the Nyer's Left Bank Red is really, really good.
Again, tonight we're doing this, and I misspoke and said this was another Rhone blend. This is a single varietal, but mm-hmm. the Nyer's, we've done a bunch of good red blends from Cali.
We've had a good year for red blends from Cali, even like ones where we did, like,
we didn't expect Moretta's
Well, the Spur.
Moretta's Well, the Spur.
That was good.
Hello. Merlot, friend.
Trefethen. They remember that little Bordeaux blend they had? Mm-hmm. I don't remember it as well, but I knew it was leaner and interesting. I mean, we've had a lot of good stuff. We have not...
The Dragon's...
Oh, no, it wasn't that. That's expensive. This was the Eshkol.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the big one I brought.
I've also had some bad things. You could bring Banshee. That's bad. I saw that they sell it at Kroger, by the way, in case you were wondering.
Don't buy it.
No. No.
Back to the Christmas.
Yes. Now, we talked about the gift. Now, what's the last thing? Christmas dinner? What did we say?
Actually, we didn't talk about the gift. We talked about... No, we did...
Yeah.
I mentioned the gift. You didn't mention the gift. You mentioned what you were going to bring to drink.
Oh, well, if I'm going to bring a gift, it depends on if I like the person or not. But if I really like the person...
You don't like anybody.
That's fair enough. If I really like someone, there's somebody special.
Just tell them. If you like them, tell them. Reach out to them. Tell them.
What I typically will do is buy something that I think that they should try. Not something that I love, because I couldn't part with it. You know how that works? Yeah. No, no.
In between the lines, what Rob likes to do is inappropriately touch people that he thinks he likes.
Your skin feels nice, awesome. Yes. What is new pussycat?
Whoa.
The boy.
Oh, Grenache.
Yes, the boy is an excellent choice. You know, on now here's one. This is what I always do. What are you going to get stone drunk on Christmas Eve night?
Anything from Turley?
Well,
any of those big Turleys?
I remember I was watching Die Hard 2, and Die Hard 1 and Die Hard 2 drinking Cedarman.
At the same time?
Well, I drifted in and out of consciousness. That's been a few years. You know, on Friday night, I had a bottle of Chateau Bourdonneau.
Okay.
But
the number one. The number one.
Yeah. And that, after, what, 2 years? 2 years in the old shop? God, was it fucking nice. So much better than straight out the damn bottle. So much better. I mean, it was so pleasant to drink. Folks, even these
things, a big expensive wine.
Oh, in the teens. Give it a couple years. It's just going to be so soft, so pleasant, so inviting.
We talk about it all the time. You do not have to spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You just need a cool place, preferably dark. You don't want lights in there. And what's most important, in our opinion, is the right humidity conditions.
Yeah.
If you're
a good basement.
Starting to cellar, you don't have to have the 60-degree temperature thing. We're not talking about $1,000 Burgundy Pinot Noirs.
No, you want your $1,000.
What Rob was talking about is a very inexpensive wine that he put back for a couple years, and all of a sudden it becomes next level.
In the wine
That's
vault,
what you can do at home, folks.
It stays low 60s, maybe 60 degrees ish.
You've got lower temperature
with
conditions.
Very good humidity down here, just perfect, and I keep it dark, quiet by itself.
Well, it's easy because it's a closet where you go in and out of your personality, so you need that dark space.
What are you trying to say, Scott?
That you're schizophrenic?
No, that might be true.
Yeah. No, but my cellar, what I did to enhance the humidity is I exposed the exterior concrete block walls in my basement, mm-hmm. in a corner of my basement.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to have those extremely cold temperatures, but it introduces a level of humidity that's, most of the time I'm 60, 65% humidity.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful temperatures for wine.
That's the thing. You get underground, and this is
humidity for wine.
This is, my basement is 8 foot. Deep. So we have 8 foot ceilings in here. So it's a little bit deeper than your average basement. A lot of them are 7 or whatnot. So this evens down a little bit more even. And I have, these are solid concrete. So it doesn't breathe quite as well as quite as much as like a cinder block would. But it stays cool and it stays a little bit humid all year long. And it's beautiful. And right now we don't even have heat. So it's great.
You
they never fixed it. that nobody can find a part yet. There's still, we have two places in search of that part. So, but you wouldn't know it, did you, Scott? You wouldn't know it.
I thought just your air conditioning was out.
The heat pump is completely out. Now, we have the emergency coil backup if it gets cold. But we have, like, you walked in, we have, like, a quart, the big quartz thing. That pretty much can heat up 85% of the house by itself. We have another one upstairs. Then we have another one in the kitchen and then one in our bedroom. If we have to have them all going, we will. But normally we have just one if we need it. It's kept it just fine. Even when it was cold, when it was like the 30s and whatnot, it never got below 65 in the house. And they weren't even running all the time.
Is there any hope of getting this part?
I don't. That's a very good question. Because eventually, that's going to become an extremely big problem. I don't know. I really don't know.
Eventually, somebody needs to take a furnace that they're going to install and take this part that you need out of that furnace until they can get the backup part.
I am not in charge of this. What would you call it? Tomfoolery. Someone else is. And if you know who that other person is, send them an email at thewinevault.com.
A real man blaming his wife. Let's get back to the Christmas thing because you're slack. No,
I've done it all.
There were three categories.
What's the third?
We only did two categories.
Well, what was the third one?
Well, you tell me what the
third one. I don't remember what the third
one was. It was something, and it was just a wine you would bring to drink.
Yes.
And a wine as a gift. Oh, a wine.
What would you drink with Christmas dinner?
What would you pair with Christmas dinner? We didn't do that.
Oh, well, no, my Hands of Time was if you had a Christmas roast, that's what you'd do. I didn't talk about, so no, it's the one that, which you would bring as a gift to the dinner. That's what we haven't done. Yes.
I did that. I said stag sleep.
Oh, well, actually, you didn't, but you actually said that with the.
The Cinso is just what I would bring to drink, but it wasn't to pair with the Christmas dinner. I think it would go well.
You did that one. So, folks, we're professionals. You did that one. But I did the one actually for dinner, so I didn't do the one to bring to dinner, and you didn't do the one with dinner.
Correct.
So I have to do the one to bring to dinner, and you have to one to, okay.
To bring to drink.
Yes, bring to drink somebody else's dinner. Somebody else's dinner.
No, it's just to drink. Why would you not pairing it with dinner.
No, you're going to a Christmas party, and you're bringing a bottle of wine.
Just to drink.
Yes, but you're going to pair it with whatever they have, so you're trying to be versatile.
All right, so you're hosting. What I host if I'm red wine?
Dipshit.
Well, you're the one who made this game up.
I know. It's complicated.
So my holiday wine is by far the White Coat from Turley. It's a white wine, though.
It has to be a red one.
I get it. You made the game. I'm just telling the listeners how to prepare properly for the holidays by buying Turley's White Coat. It's an amazing.
Yeah, because they can go down to their local, you know.
6-7 varietal white blend. It's amazing.
Or you could get white Chateauneuf du Pape, which is better.
It's kind of sort of a California spin on a white Chateauneuf du Pape. Is it better than most Chateauneuf du Papes?
Yes.
I would take the Turley over something off the
shelf. It's cheaper than the Chateauneuf du Pape, but still.
Probably better.
Well, I mean, you can get a Kirkland white Chateauneuf du Pape cheaper than the White Coat.
I don't care how much you pay. I don't think you should do that.
Well, I mean, the Chateauneuf du Pape's another $20-$25 over the White Coat. So
the White Coat's amazing.
It's a very good wine. Very good wine.
But red pair with Christmas dinner. I'm going that Christmas dinner is going to be rib roast because that's what we've been having with our friends, and I'm going to go big red. Last year, I brought multiple bottles of Turley. I forget which
one. You could
one
do
we
something
opened.
Other than Turley, so people could have
I'm
some varietal.
I get that, but
that's
I'm
why
just,
I have to say you can't say Turley in so many things because that's all you say.
Well. You know, when you know perfection, you stick with it.
That's not what Deb thinks, but still, you know, she's...
No, she thinks that exactly. She just settles for less.
Yes, well, that's true.
Anything from Howl Mountain. I think actually what we had last year with Stanley Rib Roast was Turley Estate Cab. 2015. So cellared, aged, couple bottles of that. It paired really well. So what other cab could you put like that?
Rodney Strong Symmetry comes to mind. That's a nice one.
That's not
Ferrari Carano Tresor is a nice one.
Tresor.
Or Tresor is what it is. Tresor,
Tresor is a fine.
Anything really. By Hall is nice. Maybe something from Heights.
Ooh, I've got
what
a
about
couple.
Raimi?
I've got a couple Halls that are ready to go about. I mean, I they could we could sit.
I got a
they
fuck
could sit
a,
for a
I
while.
I got a fuck ton of Hall. Remember how I went on that Hall buying spree?
Yeah, but I'm saying ready to drink like I've had it some time.
I've got some estate. You don't buy the estate. You buy the other ones.
I get what I get my hands on.
Right? Yeah, no, I have some of the estates from. I have 13 estates. Freemark Abbey is a nice one.
In general, I think for the Christmas meal I was describing, where you're going to have like a standing rib roast, mm-hmm. it's like that is the perfect pairing, in my opinion, for a big, proper California Cabernet.
So why did you do the Turley?
It was ready. It was ready to go.
Well, they're I wouldn't call them huge. I really
not the Turley Estate for sure.
They're always very consistent, and they're a nice departure from what, quite frankly, I think that they are a little bit more of a not stripped down. What's the term I'm thinking of?
It's a smoother red cab.
They're not ostentatious.
No,
and they're just. Some people might say, "Oh, that's a little bit dull. That's a little bit this and that." No, they're quality, and it's not fancy, but they don't charge $80. They should. They could because of their name. They could say, "Oh, we're Turley, so our estate Cabernet, we charge $110 for it."
Particularly the cabs are not fancy.
Everybody else fucking costs that.
Yes.
I mean, they do. It's like, you know, "Oh, I'm Sterling." Fuck you, Sterling. Yeah. "Well, we charge $300 for our cab." Suck a big dick. You know, I'm not going to pay that for you. I mean, how many fucking wines have no provenance? Yet they go out and charge $99. No, I don't want your boring Napa Valley cab that is not a single vineyard, that's not from a straight AOC. It's just from Napa. It could be from anywhere, man. I'm not going to pay $100 for it. TD9 from frickin' Schaefer went up $20.
Yeah, it did.
$20!
Since we've been doing the show, it's doubled in price.
I'm not going to pay that. Well, I'm not going to pay $120 for your 1.5. I'm not going to do that. You know why?
I would rather have Camus at $90. You know what you're getting.
And Camus is what I was kind of railing on there.
I get it, except what
I'm not going to pay that for that.
Except you know what Camus was priced at 5 years ago? $89.
I know it's always been overpriced.
I get it, but you know what you can get Camus for right now? $89. If anything, Camus has become more affordable than be more expensive.
It's
I get
always
what you're saying.
Been overpriced by about $30.
It's Camus. I get it. But you know what? If you don't know red wines, you don't know cabs, to take that Camus to a Christmas dinner to pair with standing rib roast, you're not far off the point.
Camus on occasion has some classic Camuses. The 25th anniversary, that's just up there.
It's the 40th anniversary.
Oh, I'm sorry, the 40th anniversary, yes. That actual vintage, strangely enough, what is it, the 2011? I can't remember. It got sky-high reviews after it was re-reviewed a few years later. And it was a unique wine. And quite frankly, I drank it. It's a liter bottle that I had. And I think I paid $79 or $80 for the liter bottle.
But you'd had it.
Good deal.
You bought it when it came out, so probably about 2012, 2013.
Yeah. That was a really, really amazing bottle of wine. Now, I've had Camus a couple other times beyond that. I've had it probably 4 or 5 times. It's always a really good wine. Really good. Quite frankly, better than a lot of the other things that are Napa. You know, I'm sorry. It is. But it's still All of them are nonsensically priced. Jordan, go suck a fucking big dick.
I thought you liked Jordan. Why are you besmirching
Jordan? Jordan's a $35 bottle of wine, masquerading at $75. Scott, I just had it.
Where did you have Jordan?
At a restaurant, and I had it for $75. That was the restaurant price in Dayton. I had it in May, but okay, I didn't have it that long ago. I had it this year. And yeah, it's a 30-ish dollar bottle of wine. That's all it is.
Jordan.
It has nothing on Ferrari Carano. Nothing. Not. It's Alexander Valley, and it has none of the classic Alexander Valley characteristics. It's lean. It's hard.
I'm going to tell our listeners shitty right now. The California Cabs, the one to pair with Christmas roast beef.
Okay.
Price point, quality, consistently a good product.
Okay.
Fucking Mountain Viator, dude.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good one.
It's a good wine.
For the money. Mid-40s?
Well, also from a, $40, $50. From an availability standpoint.
You can find it usually.
It is a good wine.
And
it's very good.
You can put it back a couple years and it does improve a little bit. I don't know that it's necessarily.
You can do 5 to 10.
5 to 10 by design, but it's a damn good wine right off the shelf.
It's Mount Viator AOC. It's not Napa Valley. I believe it's
Mount Viator. No, it's Mount Viator, and it's Mount Viator Winery.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good value, all things considered, when you consider what else. Your values come from your Ferrari Carano Trezor, great value. Rodney Strong Symmetry, great value.
And that's where
Rodney Strong, you know what we need to have is their reserve.
Correct. That's where I'm at with the Turley estate for a cab.
It's a good value.
It's a good, particularly when you're getting priced direct from the winery.
It is.
I mean, yeah.
About $50.
But Mountain Viator right now, I've got like 5 botles that I'm holding back.
Yeah, I've got 6.
It's such a good value.
Yep.
And we were on vacation the 1 year, and I was getting it for like 35.
No, we got it randomly in the 20s that one time.
It's stupid. It's like these grocery stores make mistakes. So listen to the names we bring up. And if you're in the grocery, we talk about wine.com. There's other wine apps. You can use those to take pictures of these bottles, and you go, that price doesn't look right to me. And you check it out and you go, that's $20 too low. Buy everything. Buy 10 bottles of it.
On that, wine.com figured out their Torbeck, the Steeding mistake. Now it's $38 a bottle.
It's still a good price.
It's still a good price. So folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Bowl. And we're back, folks. So the 2020, the Pundit Syrah from Tennant Wines, which is also Chateau Saint-Michel.
And two French guys.
Two French guys. Uh-huh. We won't hold that against them. Scott, can I polish this off on you?
Let's polish that off.
We have drank it all, which is a good sign. Not always do we do that.
Well, yeah.
Especially last week.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
The Banshee could take a note of two of this wine. So it does have a good drinkability factor, but Scott, what is its numerical score? As you see.
I'm probably going to overscore it a little bit. I don't give a lot. It's all about mouth texture for this wine for me. This has this one characteristic that raises it up to a higher score. It's an enjoyable wine. I'm not sure it's for everybody. I do disagree with the wine guy in one area. I do not think it's over-oaked.
I didn't say it was over-oaked. I said it was oaky, but I didn't think it was over-oaked. God damn it.
Man, he's so emotional.
Ass white.
So emotional.
I never said it was over-oaked.
It hit a nerve there.
Jesus Christ.
So emotional.
You dipshit. I never
so
said that.
So emotional.
Continue
come
with your
to your emotional rescue.
What's your score?
I'm in an 88, and that's primarily because I love the mouthfeel.
I overscored it. Oh no, I'm such a hard on. Oh, look at me. I'm a big score.
I'm also giving it an 88, folks. Okay. I don't want Scott to keep on rambling. It is a lovely wine, to a certain point. It isn't this thing that's going to blow up the Olympic scale. Are we both maybe a little bit high on the Olympic scale with the 88?
We're both maybe a little bit high.
Could be, but that also accounts to drinkability. It has a high drinkability level, even for Syrah. If you want to try Syrah, this isn't a bad choice. J-Lore is a couple bucks cheaper, but I would do this because it's not J-Lore. So you're not putting money in J-Lore's pocket just for that simple purpose.
It's not super Syrah-y. No, I don't know what I mean by that.
You're not going to mistake it for anything other than Syrah.
It's not. I don't know about that.
What would you think it was?
I don't know that tomato I would taste soup? Test this at Syrah.
Well, you're a dumbass if you didn't
because
think this
of the creamy texture.
Oh, my God. I know what he thinks it's going to be.
What?
Oh, I remember that taste on my mouth. Oh, it's so.
I'll bet you do.
Yeah.
No, it's. But in terms of Syrah, the level of things that make it difficult for many people's palate, this doesn't have that. So in that way, I'm saying it's not a traditional Syrah.
It's a snapshot of Syrah.
I love that descriptor. So I go back to what you're saying, that it's an easy Syrah for people to introduce themselves into the varietal. But when you get into more hardcore, pure Syrahs, they're not as drinkable, general, as this is. Generally, they're
depends
not as drinkable.
Depends on where they're from.
Syrahs, in general, just aren't the most drinkable varietal.
Okay.
It's why you like them. Some they're difficult.
No. Some Syrahs can be ugly. But some Syrahs can be aromatic and...
Yes.
And mesmerizing in a lot of different ways. Yes, you've got to have a bit of a wine drinker's card to really get into them. But they don't really to appreciate all the elements that they show. But that doesn't mean that people can't like them. It is a bit of a guttural wine on the front palate where it can be just a little bit rough. And it doesn't have these common blackberry pleasing flavors that people are comfortable with. But
that's what's so easy about this one. It's not like that.
It's like, folks, it's not every book is a pop-up book. You know, some books are novels that you have to read. Now, this wine is a bit of a...
What's the last novel you read?
I just read Tom Clancy if I read, but... so, never.
Nice lead into a fucking slam.
Never. But this wine is one that you sit, not this wine, but Syrah in general. This wine is a, this wine
is Janet Ivanovich.
This wine is a very good short story. Very short story. Very, very short story. But you enjoy the short story. You say, hey, I wish this was a little bit longer, but it's not.
That's what she said.
Scott's heard that before, yes, but, you know, still.
Stilton?
It is pleasant for what it is. It's better with food.
You've heard that all the time. It's pleasant for what it is, Rob.
No. You're like, damn, that's a lot of meat. But still.
It's a good thing you can make up for what you put on the grill for it's your like, shortcomings in other ways in life.
I didn't know a cock could be 18 inches long. Yeah, it can be. That's what I hear. My God, your penis is so fucking big.
He hangs out at the
my God
hen house quite a bit.
I'm across the room and you just put my eye out with your dick. That's right, I did. That's right. Is that a lethal weapon or is that your dick? It's at my dick.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right.
So funny.
No double entendre here.
no entendre there at all.
No. Get rid of the entendre.
I don't like entendre either. You know what I like, Scott?
I dated a girl named Entendre once.
Duke's mayonnaise. You know why?
The spicy after finish?
No. No, that's Jose. No. Duke's mayonnaise is good if you want to have your heart stop in 15 seconds after eating it because of the high cholesterol that is in Duke's mayonnaise. Folks, if you have low cholesterol and you need to raise your cholesterol levels to dangerous levels, folks, we're talking about if you want to walk the tightrope, if you want to fight a tiger, if you want to jump out of an airplane without a parachute, you don't have to do any of that stuff. You know what you can do? Eat Duke's mayonnaise in small amounts. You are tempting death. You are dancing with a rattler. You are running straight at a fucking crazed bull. You are playing chicken with a freight train. You are doing all those things, folks, by eating small amounts of Duke's mayonnaise. So, Duke's mayonnaise, when you want to kill yourself. That's Duke's mayonnaise new jingle. Yeah. It's nice, isn't it?
It's really not nice.
That's not nice. I don't know. It's very, very popular in Delaware.
Ohio or the state?
The state.
The Blue Hens.
Yes. Nobody likes Delaware anyway. It's a shitty state. Who the hell goes to Delaware? I know some people that said, you know, we went to the beach. Where'd you go? Delaware. Fuck's wrong? What are you... fucking wrong with you? Who goes to Delaware? Why do you go to Delaware? Seriously.
Visit family.
No, I don't have family in Delaware.
You took a job.
Nobody takes a job in Delaware.
You couldn't get into the local community college, so you got into the private school there that...
What? No! There's not even like a hardcore pornography ring in Delaware.
Yet.
No, that's all in Maryland. That's where that's a good one. Yeah, yeah.
You had to serve time in a federal penitentiary and they sent you to Delaware.
That's instead of the penitentiary.
Well, you know, when you
get could be worse.
When you get convicted of federal crimes, you don't get to pick where you go.
It could be worse. They could send you to Kansas. So, you know.
Ooh.
I know.
Wow. You know, our listeners in Kansas aren't going to appreciate that.
All right, listen. Well, they have to listen to something. What are they going to do? I'm going to go to the Cheesecake Factory. Which one? There's 15 right within a quarter mile of each other. Everybody, you know, it's like you're in Columbus, Ohio, and you say, boy, there's a lot of chain restaurants. Well, hold my beer, motherfucker. Go to Kansas City. Oh, my God. All it is a chain restaurant.
That's not true.
Oh, you think those people weigh 1,700 pounds.
Well,
there was a Jay Gilbert's that was a standalone as a chain restaurant in Kansas City.
Have you watched the population in Columbus, Ohio?
Oh, have you watched?
We're the fattest fucking people in the country.
No. See, they have they do all that in Kansas City because it's in the middle.
They do all what in Kansas City?
Have fat people. Because that way it can't tip the whole fucking country over.
Oh, Jesus.
Cheesecake factories. Oh, who the fuck eats there?
They actually have a nice menu.
They have a big menu.
That's what she said.
Jesus Christ. It involves a 2x4. Yeah, you know. I'm going to have a 17.
Well, you don't want to go all the way in.
I'm going to have a 17-pound.
Strap that 2x4 on your backside. You don't want to go all the way in.
I'm going to have a 17-pound.
You might have to hang on with both arms, because you don't want to go all the way. You don't want to fall all the way in. You know, once you go all the way in, you might not make it back out. So you know, need that 2x4 for safety.
You know, one time one
so
person...
So you got to hang on with both hands.
This person said, I like Cheesecake Factory cheesecake. And I said, I can hear
really
you breathing. They were wheezing.
Well.
No.
Well.
No.
Be honest, there's probably family members that you have.
Are you
and I
are
have
you a shut in?
Like, both love the Cheesecake Factory.
Yes, they're called hoarders.
Wow.
You know, they smell of cat pee.
Well.
So does I love these French fries. It's because they taste like fucking McDonald's French fries. Look at the calorie count on your club sandwich. It's like 1,700 calories For one piece of the sandwich.
Only because.
What do they do with that, Scott? Do they have like a sprinkle? It's called a calorie sprinkle. Because these things, naturally, ham, turkey, tomato, fuck.
Bacon. It's the bacon. Blame it on bacon. Everybody blames it on bacon.
You know what it is?
What is it?
Duke's mayonnaise.
I love Duke's mayonnaise.
Oh, my gosh. The best mayonnaise to get diabetes with. So, folks,
for 288s, I recommend it.
Yes. Dude, somebody was anticipating this wine wouldn't be very good. They were wrong. It's not the most complex wine, but well worth the price point.
Well, I mean, they weren't.
You were wrong.
I've been less wrong.
When was that?
J-Lore,
Syrah. I'm less wrong.
Because that was as good as this.
No.
It might be actually a little more complex than this.
Okay, but this is a better wine.
Yes, because it's from J-Lore.
No, because of the mouthfeel.
The mouthfeel's nice.
That's what takes this wine.
We drank it.
More approachable to everybody.
Hey, we would drink this wine. And you know what? It's recommended.
I would buy this wine again.
Buy it soon because they stopped making it.
I get it, but this is...
Shut the doors.
Yeah.
You know, I would try 19 or an 18 of this, though.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Sudia?
He ate at the Cheesecake Factory. He's wheezing. He's dying, folks.
Anyway, 288s recommended. The Pundit from Tenet Wines.
Chateau Saint-Michel.
I know. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.